Quicks.
This station identification is brought to you by Columbia Orthopedic Group, where life is so much simpler with all your orthopedic needs under one roof. Call Columbia Orthopedic Group today. This is Quicks, KWIX AM Moberly, KWIX FM Cairo.
I'm a little scared and a little nervous. Like right now, my heart is pounding because I'm hearing cop vehicles pass behind me, and it's reminding me of that day.
CBS's Adriana Diaz is in Parkland.
Grief counselors will actually be following the schedules of the students who were killed, 14 students, to make sure that in those classrooms where those students are missing, they're able to provide support for the surviving students.
Classes will run just half a day for the rest of the week. They resumed with fourth period this morning, exactly where they left off on Valentine's Day. Two more women are coming forward with allegations of sex assault against casino mogul Steve Wynn. One of them says Wynn.
That's one of the really nice things that I have been able to find as a part of these programs is this history on the radio has really entertained and energized listeners to the point that I get information all the time. It's part of their history. It's part of their community's history. And I learn a lot more facts after these discussions, and I have better stories to tell. And that's really a lot of fun. I would have to say that the ability and the opportunity to do history on the radio has been one of the most fun things of my retirement, and I thank the radio station for that. Now, responses come from all kinds of folks, visitors to the Historical Society, and folks stop me on the street or in the store, or they ask a question, or maybe provide a few facts to fill in the things that I have. And on occasion, I've been corrected, and that's okay, too. It is a pleasure for me to talk and listen to these folks and find out more, and this program, again, has been one of the most enjoyable parts of my retirement. So keep the calls and comments and letters coming. We'll talk about some of them today. Okay, we're going to talk about early towns, villages, and in some cases, communities that were clustered around schools or churches. I remember I asked the question last time about where the community of Gill was located. Well, I didn't get any answers, but I found it. On a map that Ralph Gerard had done for the Historical Society, it lists all the school districts of the county, 81 of them, in fact, and one of those down in the southwest part of Randolph County is called Gill, and it was the Gill community. Now, there have been a number of towns and communities that have had name changes, and there are a few reasons why that's occurred. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to revisit neighborhood groceries. Now, I want to let people know that the first time we talked about neighborhood groceries was October of 2012. Good gracious. 2012. And we'll also talk about a unique sandwich and its connection with a lot of these groceries. And finally, I hope we can leave some time for you to call in. So get a pen and paper and jot down some notes or some facts or some questions, and we'll get right on with it. So our first project this morning is towns and their names. We're going to discuss a few of them. One of them we've discussed earlier is a little town not in Randolph County, but in Monroe County, right across the county line, called Leesburg. It's also called Duncan's Bridge. And I had a very nice letter from a gentleman up in that direction, and he provided me some information that was absolutely wonderful. He provided copies of an 1876 plat map, and it did show Duncan's Bridge. But where we thought Leesburg was, there was a town, and I can only spell it, capital E-L-E-S-B-U-R-G-H. So that must have been the Leesburg. Somehow that name got changed over the years, or shortened to L-E-E-S-B-E-R-G. Now, I don't know a lot about where that name come from, but I would like to know. So if anybody can tell me, again, we're going to spell it one more time. Capital E-L-E-S-B-U-R-G-H, and that was in Monroe County. And he indicated that at one time there was a post office for Clarence, Missouri, and one for Madison, Missouri, in that little town. He also reported that there were grocery stores. There was a Mr. Bean that had a store, and then another store was operated by Chester and Hootie Overfelt. There's the name. And a story, and this is what's fun that comes along with this. He told me that he was sent to the grocery store with a $5 bill to buy bananas. They didn't tell him to buy all the bananas in the store, but let me say he came home with $5 worth of bananas, and back in that time, that was probably a lot of bananas. The next community I want to talk about is a real mystery, and I accidentally ran across this in some information at the Historical Society. Has anyone out there heard of Earl? Okay, call in if you do. I don't know where it was located, but a listing for businesses and different things about it in 1884 indicated it had a flour mill, a woolen mill, 3 carpenters, 5 lawyers, 2 dentists, and a number of businesses. Now, I can understand everything except the 5 lawyers.
Why do we need 5 lawyers?
But apparently, that was the case. So I would like to know if you know anything about the village of Earl. Now, there is a small village in Randolph County, in the northwest corner of the county, that was called Hubbard. And that village was named after a fellow named William H. Hubbard. And at one time, it had a filling station, a blacksmith shop, it had scales for weighing livestock, it had an ice house, a telephone switchboard, a post office, and a feed store. And we know that George and Elizabeth Sears and their family operated a store there from 1906 to 1916. Now, in this story about Hubbard, it says that Hubbard was not far from P.D., spelled capital P-E-E, capital D-E-E. But that's another story, so we'll not get into that today. So if you know anything about P.D. or Hubbard, that's always something that we'd like to hear about. Now, during other radio programs, we've talked about towns whose names were changed for various reasons. We've talked about Cairo, which was called Fairview at the beginning. Now, I've noticed, again, on this listing of school districts for Randolph County, that there was a Fairview School down in the southern part. That may have been the reason that Cairo changed its name. Then there was, of course, Allen, Missouri, or what we know around here as Old Allen. It was originally called Old Tavern, and that was due to the fact that it had this stopping place, watering spot, that was on the old stagecoach line that went from Huntsville to Paris. And then, of course, we know about Macon, Missouri, which was originally known as Hudson, and the change there. Now, some of the other communities that I've run across in the olden days in the county include a place called Ryder, a place called Grand Center, a place called Kimberly, and I'm pretty sure that was a coal mining community, Levick's Mill, and a question about Levick's Mill. There was a Dr. Levick here in Moberly. Does anyone know if there's any connection between Levick's Mill up in the northeastern part of Randolph County and the Dr. Levick who was here in Moberly? Another place called Rolling Home, along with some still well-known spots like Thomas Hill, Milton, and Mount Airy. And hopefully some of the folks listening out there will be able to fill in information on these communities for further stories.
Okay, sounds good. We'll take a break at this point. We're going to transition to grocery stores and more. Coming up, it's History on the Radio on Quicksland This Morning.
When it's time to plan for your next building project, contact Bossville Wholesalers. Hi, this is Naomi. We take pride in providing top quality materials. We sell number one yellow pine lumber, Fabrel roofing and siding, and built to spec trusses to ensure that your project is built solid. Don't rely on box stores or contractors who only show up after the storm and then don't stick around. We are here to stay. In fact, we've been around for over 44 years. Build it with quality. Build it with trust. Build it with Bossville Wholesalers. Sailors, 12 miles north of Salisbury on Highway 129, or call 660-222-3262.
Keeping you connected, Sheraton Valley. Now's the perfect time to visit your smartphone headquarters at Sheraton Valley with the latest devices and the nation's best 4G LTE coverage. Now's the perfect time to make the switch. Stop into Sheraton Valley today and let their friendly staff get you set up on the right plan this year. Visit Sheraton Valley online at cvalley.net.
Okay, Michael, open up and say, ah.
Hey, Doc.
Yes?
Mind if I record this dental visit for a radio commercial?
No, not at all.
Because I want to show people how gentle you are. How easy it is to have nice, straight, pearly whites. From cleaning and teeth whitening to crowns and root canals. You make it seem like...
Okay, all done.
Ah, no trouble at all.
Smile Dental, your gentle dentist for the whole family. Located on Rollins Street and Highway 63 in Moberly.
It is 19 minutes before 9 o'clock. We're with J.W. Ballinger. Now we're going to transition to a different subject, Jake.
We are. What did a lot of these little villages and communities have in common? We talked about Leesburg, Duncan's Bridge had grocery stores. We talked about Hubbard that had grocery stores and general stores. But that was the common unit in most of these communities. You had to have a place to buy food and staples. We've discussed grocery stores on past programs. In fact, I mentioned that October of 2012, we talked about grocery stores in the neighborhoods for the first time. We also hear a lot about grocery stores on a Facebook subpage called Moberly Old Stories. Now, believe it or not, that is a wonderful place to get questions answered. There's a lot more questions asked than are answered. And it's a really wonderful place, again, for historical resources to see pictures and things that are posted there. And that was done by, that was started by a Huntsville resident by the name of Donnie Culliford. And Donnie keeps that page up and keeps it going. And I want to pass on my sympathies to him because he just lost his father recently. So Donnie's done a great job of putting that together. And it's just not Moberly stories. There's stories about all over the area. Of course, Moberly was the place that a lot of people came for shopping and what have you, so it is a concentration, but there are discussions about Clifton Hill and Huntsville and everything else. Now, these are an opportunity for all who participate to remember their favorite store, maybe remember the grocer who ran that store, and oftentimes the favorite product in that store. So we hear questions about soda pop. Chocolate Soldier is one that's often mentioned. Nesbitt's Orange. Of course, the wine dip that was developed here in Moberly. And, of course, the flavored colas that you could get in some of the fountain shops are always discussed. The Cherry Cokes, the Lemon Cokes, and what have you, and even the Chocolate Cokes. Now, lately, the subject of Juicy Burgers come up again. It quite often comes up. And even though we've told some of the stories about the origin of Juicy Burger, who invented it, who sold it, the subject continues to be of interest. So, recently posted on Moberly Old Stories was an anniversary advertising from the local paper where it stated that this is the 8th anniversary of Juicy Burger. Now, I think Juicy Burger started sometime around 1948. So, that could make it in the 1955-56, which was the heyday of the neighborhood grocery stores in the entire area. So this unique sandwich in this advertising provided a list of grocery stores where that product was sold. Now I want to read these to you. Hopefully you'll know some of them, but I just hope this brings up some memories about your favorite grocery store, maybe your favorite grocer, what candy bar you bought there, what soda pop you bought there. So here's the listing. Bradley's Market, Central Market, Clements Market, the Davis Market, the East Side Market, one of my favorites over by East Park School, Edwards Market, Gaines Market, Gonzer's Market, the Grand Avenue Grocery, Hearn and Sons, the IGA Foodliner, the Mercer Market, the Milam Market, Earl B. Knoll Grocery, the North Park Market, Peyton's Market, Quality Market, Rentschler Grocery, Temple Stevens Stores. Now, it wasn't just one. There were five of them. And then there was Vans Market, Wilhite Market, and I remember Mr. Wilhite very well, and Ray's Market. And for good measure, there was Juicy Burger being sold around the county. In Huntsville, the Grand Avenue Grocery had Juicy Burger, as did Haynes Grocery and the Summers Grocery. And in Cairo, the Matlock Grocery, there on Martin Street, had Juicy Burger. Now, this ad also says that now you can buy Juicy Burger in the new home-size 15-ounce cans. Now, all this Juicy Burger was produced and canned in the back of the old Pig and Bun. And in these 15-ounce cans, it was ready to, say, as they say, heat and eat for picnics, parties, and as a snack for the kids after school. What made Juicy Burger so good and so popular? Well, that's for you all to answer. There's a lot of questions about the ingredients. What were the spices? You know, what did they put in it? I don't know them all. As far as I know, the recipe is locked up in a locked box down in Texas. But one thing I do think I know, and you all can tell me if I'm right or not, is the catsup that they used. What kind was that? My understanding, it was Hunt's ketchup. So there's one of the items for the old Juicy Burger. Now, we're going to end this today, and hopefully we'll have some people call in. We'll have some other discussion if they don't. But I'm going to be traveling a little bit in March, so we will not do a History on the Radio in March and be back in April. The reason I don't travel so much during the winter is I like to stay at home and get things done. But then before the Randolph County Historical Society opens in April and the Rothwell Park Railroad gets to running mid-April, I like to take a little travel.
Well, we'll let you.
All right.
Maybe we'll have a rocking chair ready for you when you come back.
Okay.
That's the only thing missing from these shows is you rocking in a rocking chair.
Well, I guess we could have a fireside chat, too.
Okay, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to open up the phone lines. Let's have a discussion here. It's History on the Radio on Quix.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-467-7530. That's 1-800-467-7530.
All right, History on the Radio with J.W. Ballinger, your opportunity to call in with your memories on grocery stores, these little towns that J.W. has mentioned, any memories you may have, and also Juicy Burger. Were you a fan of Juicy Burger? What do you think the ingredients were? Now, the Juicy Burger and the Maid Rite are two different creatures.
Yes.
Right?
Juicy Burger patented their name. I assume maybe the patent has run out at this point, but they did patent their name, and they had a copyright on the design for the paper that they used for their sandwiches. And if people are interested, you know, the story about how that got started is just always interesting to me. I had the distinct pleasure of visiting with Verna Patrick on several occasions. And the story of how Juicy Burger got its name is just really interesting to me. It's a good story.
No doubt. And you're on the air with J.W.
Yeah, my question is not about Juicy Burger or grocery stores, but schools. He mentioned 81 rural schools. Don't you know what year they closed all those schools up? Because I know they used to have a county superintendent, you know, with all the other schools, and you had an eighth grade graduation at each school, then you went to the auditorium at Mobley. You know, all the schools graduated at one time.
That is correct.
I don't know what year that closed.
Well, let's just ask the listeners. We'll play like we're party line. We'll see if we can get them to call in. I think I have a general idea, sir, but I do not know the specific year.
It had to be in the 60s.
Yeah, sometime in the 60s, I would say. And there's a lot of information about these small school districts. In fact, we have copies of contracts to the teachers in some of these districts that would just amaze you at how little they were paid to take care of those kids for a whole school year.
Yeah, they wasn't paid very much.
No, they weren't. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Open phones for you here this morning. If you want to call in, 263-2424 is our Moberly local line. And you can call in on the Sheraton Valley line at 388-6424. You can call 800-892-2300 with your memories, like our gentleman from the Duncan's Bridge area. You got quite a letter from him.
I did. I got a nice letter from him, and very appreciative.
So do you think this Leesburg, do you think it was pronounced Ellisburg then?
I don't know. I think the front E was silent. And I think that's how it...
Maybe so.
But I'd like to know the origin. I would guess there's some Irish or somebody's something
name.
In the name. Yeah, somebody's name.
And they remove the H.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep.
At the end.
But that happened with a lot of things. You know, Burkhardt Street here in Moberly's had spelling changes over the years. And it's a very simple B-U-R-K-H-A-R-T now. But it had several other letters in it when it started. And those things happened. They happened on purpose and sometimes accidentally. For instance, when people were doing their census, the people who interviewed maybe didn't hear the name correctly or certainly had the opportunity to misspell it. So a lot of changes. I know the name Ballinger is spelled in about a half a dozen different ways, and so it happens.
Anybody know anything about Levick's Mill? You can call in. You asked the question. There was a Dr. Levick that practiced
right
in Moberly.
Over towards the park. He had a two-story building. On the bottom floor, there was a grocery, general store type, and upstairs he had his doctor's office. The lot there is vacant now. There's nothing there. But I do remember driving by that when I was a little kid. The town of Ryder, I don't know where that is. Kimberly, I kind of have an idea. Grand Center, I'm not sure of, but I would like to know. Rolling Home, I've heard people talk about.
Ryder with a Y.
Uh-huh.
And you're next up with J.W. Ballinger. What's on your mind?
Yeah, going over the list of grocery stores, J.W., did you mention Jackson's Market on Rollins Street?
I did not, but that was not in the ad, Carol Lee. I took the ad from Moberly Old Stories, and Jackson's Market was not there.
They didn't sell Juicy Burger,
now,
apparently.
Now, Peyton's Market was.
Well,
that wasn't the same one. No, sorry.
Well, I was just wondering if you had any background or anything on Jackson's Market.
There is some at the Historical Society.
Okay.
Right off the top of my head, all I know is where it was, and I know the place was a very busy place for all that area over around Southeast School and College, and nice place for the kids to stop.
Well, you know, one of the things I remember about some of these small grocery stores is you could go in there and you could pick up whatever you needed and they'd write it down.
Yep.
And you didn't have to pay for it then.
That's right.
Then you'd go in once a month or something and pay your bill.
Pay your bill.
Well, the Depression created a lot of opportunity for businesses like that to carry the customer. And I've heard people say that they heard their mom and dad say they didn't get their bill paid off at the grocery store until sometime around the end of the Second World War. So, you know, those kind of bills carried on for years and years.
Yeah, and I thought that was quite interesting.
Yes, it is.
Because you sure can't do that now.
No.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you for your memory, and you're welcome to join us here with your phone call. J.W. Ballinger with us. I'd like to know more about Earl. This worries
me. Oh, I would,
too. These five lawyers.
He had five lawyers there. I want to find out. As you pointed out when we were on break, they must not have got along very well. So,
and Earl, so you can call up with that. Anything 11, any of these little towns you want to talk about, or your memories of Juicy Burger, you can give us a call.
Yeah.
Here this morning, you went shopping in Duncan's Bridge.
I did.
With your grandfather.
I did. We would go out and visit my grandparents northeast of Cairo, usually on a Sunday afternoon, and sometimes they'd ask us to stay for supper. And some point in time, why somebody'd say, you want some ice cream? Well, we'll have to run over to Duncan's Bridge and get some. So the stores were open because they, you know, the people lived in the stores. So they were there most of the time.
Hi, you're on the air. You got a question or comment?
Well, one of the things I remember about when the lady mentioned, you know, paying the bills, I don't know if all grocery stores do that or not, but the ones we went to, when you paid your bill, they gave you a little sack of candy or something, you know, when you paid your bill. And
got a bonus. What
kind of little treat, you know, they gave you.
Well, that's nice.
Encourage
the
people.
You don't do that today.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for your memory.
I used to get a nickel when I got my hair cut, too. I don't know if that still goes on or not.
That was before. Well, we gave the figures on the Tooth Fairy.
Things yes, we did.
Increased significantly earlier. You know, you talk about some of these small towns, and Jerry mentioned about the schools. It would seem to me that when the schoolhouse closed,
yeah,
so many of these small towns, I know even up in my area where I'm from, when the school closed, the town kind of
yes.
went with it
yes.
too. Yeah,
yeah, that's certainly true. The school was kind of the anchor for the community in a lot of cases.
And as you mentioned, the history with the coal mines too, sure. and those type things. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey.
When I was back in the 60s, Chester Wheel Hike was like two doors down from us. I had an old cur dog my brother brought back from service. He walked around everywhere with me. And, I'd go up to Chester's, and if you go in the back door of Chester's, he used to have it just full of cardboard boxes. And Chester would let me smash the boxes for him so he could destroy them. And he'd give me a lot of cola for smashing the boxes. And he had a box full of meat scraps behind the meat counter. And he'd give my old dog a chunk of meat.
Huh.
And, yeah, Chester, pretty neat old man.
He was. Chester Wilhite was well-known in the grocery business. And I lived next to him after he retired over on Logan Street. And he and his wife were just delightful. I remember he spent a lot of years on the park board. What kind of soda pop did he give you?
Lala Cola.
All
yeah,
right.
They had those big 16-ounce bottles, and that was one of the bigger ones you could get in those days.
It was.
It'd take maybe an hour and a half to smash all those bottles. I think maybe Chester burned them there.
Okay.
But I remember my mom used to give me a quarter, send me up there for lard. That's what we cooked for.
All right.
I mean, it'd be just a huge bucket. An old thing of lard for a quarter. But anyway, you have a good one.
All thank
right.
you.
Hey, thanks for your memory. Let's go back to the Moberly line. You're on the air with JW.
Yes, I'd like to enlarge a little on what Carol Lee had to say. My dad had a grocery store, too, but wasn't in Moberly. I didn't live here. But he was in that business during the Depression, and I remember he eventually gave it up because people didn't pay their bills. They couldn't pay their bills. And when we moved away, about 10 miles away, every Saturday my mother would go back there to that town and try to collect the money. Sometimes somebody would give her 50 cents, sometimes a dollar. And she had outstanding grocery bills as much as $300, if you can imagine that, during the Depression. Mm. And people just couldn't pay them. And so finally, I think she did that for about 2 years and finally just wrote them all off. But there were many people that just never, ever could pay those bills. It was a bad time.
Yeah. Yes, it was. I remember my grandparents and my parents talking about the Depression times, and that was a really, really hard time for families, that's for sure.
All right.
It sure was.
Thank you for your memory.
Thank you.
And you're next up on the Sheraton Valley line. Hi.
Yes, Grandview. It was on Highway 3 north of Caseyville.
Grandview was okay. Thank you.
Was that two words or one?
It was just one.
One word altogether, Grandview.
Do you remember anything about it?
No, I just remember going there with my dad. We lived north of Clifton Hill.
Uh-huh.
I just remember going there.
Okay.
Hey, thank you. He's adding it to the list. Slide in one more call. Hi, you're on with JW.
JW, I have a recipe for juicy burgers, and it's the best, I think. My mom made it, and I have another one that my aunt made. It's 2 pounds of hamburgers browned with onion. Drain. Use your seasoning. I use oregano, salt, and pepper, and those types of seasonings to suit. And one can of chicken gumbo soup, and 6 tablespoons of ketchup, and 3 tablespoons of yellow mustard. Now, my aunt used the cream of